T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Part of the class that included former Georgia great Champ Bailey, who went in, Pat Bowlen from the Broncos as a contributor, Gil Brandt as a contributor, Ty Law, the cornerback, Kevin Mowe, the center, Ed Reed, and Johnny Robinson, a pair of safeties go in. But it's Tony Gonzalez as the arguably the greatest tight end of all time, who goes into the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, and then made a whole bunch of people mad in the process of going into the Hall of Fame, Hugh. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh, day after Super Bowl 53.
What did he do, say he was going in as a chief?
No, he said, the Falcons honestly made my career. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years. When I got to Atlanta, it was like all of a sudden you're part of a winning organization. You're on TV every week. I love it here in Atlanta.
What's wrong with that? Are you talking about you made Kansas City Chiefs fans?
Oh, man? Yeah. They went ham on social media, so to speak. They are saying they went ape duty.
Yeah. That's you say. They went ape duty.
They want to the point where one started trying to start a petition to have Tony Gonzalez's name taken off the Ring of Honor at Arrowhead Stadium.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, get out of your feelings, Kansas City. Let me just say this, and this is not me dissing. This is me being totally honest. Kansas City, compared to Atlanta, is a smaller market team. And when you talk about Tony Gonzalez's career, he didn't speak nothing but the truth. Tony Gonzalez is probably one of the greatest tight ends, if not the greatest tight end to play the game at this point going into the Hall of Fame. You didn't really hear about Tony Gonzalez. You knew if you were a player, you knew about Tony Gonzalez. You knew how great he was. You knew how good he was. Tony Gonzalez took his game to the next level when he came to Atlanta. That's a fact. I mean, that is a fact. And for you to get mad about that, for him just putting it in perspective, I mean, what you upset about? No, he didn't say anything about he made his bones in Atlanta. He just said it put him on the map. It did. It really, really did. You can't argue that. I don't think you can argue that. People knew how good Tony Gonzalez was, but when he got here, it was like, wow, this cat is really good. They started talking about him as one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the game. Mm-hmm. That's when his career kind of took off, really, really took off.
Yeah, so he made those folks in Kansas City a little bit mad. I mean, they were already smarting for the fact that they, you know, were a play away from, you know, making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he probably should have waited, but I guess he was in the moment. First ballot Hall of Famer, you know, and they probably looked at it. And, yeah, I could see them being upset about that. But he was speaking his truth. This is the thing that I don't get about people. Well, I guess I do, and they just had to deal with it. As long as you're falling in lockstep with what everybody else is saying, nobody has a problem with that until you say something that they don't like. Then they want to get rid of you, which is, I don't understand. Instead of just taking it with a grain of salt, listen, even your wife or your significant other don't say stuff that you like all the time. Do you kick her out? Do you throw her away? Do you throw him away? Do you tell him to get out? Well, you probably do. But this is something different. This is an opinion. This is opinion. And you should never be offended by anybody giving you their opinion about certain things. That's my thought process.
As it goes to the Hall, the NFL Hall of Fame is not like the Baseball Hall of Fame. You don't go in with a team. It's not like
you're going as a player.
You go in as an individual player, right?
And the team, if they want to claim you, they will. And nothing you could do about that. And sometimes I remember them guys even going into the Hall of Fame, and they have every team that they ever played for at the bottom. You know what I mean? It's only a few cats going to go in there with one team. Tom Brady's one of them. Jackie Slater is in the Hall of Fame as a Ram because that's the only team they played for.
Right.
Even
Peyton Manning's got Super Bowls with two teams.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say Kevin Mowai. I can't remember who he played for before he played for the Jets. But he played. I remember him as a Jet. Now, with that being said, in all fairness, when I remember Tony Gonzalez, I'm going to remember him, me personally, as a Kansas City Chief. Like, because that's where he played the bulk of his career. That's just me. And I know Atlanta fans probably won't hear that, but to me, I remember him as a Kansas City Chief.
Well, there were guys that were snubbed again. Steve Atwater didn't make it in. Ike Bruce cannot get into the Hall of Fame for love or money.
Dude, it was a tough class this year, though. It was a tough class. This was DBU this year. A lot of DBs went in. Ty Law, shout out to Ty Law, Champ Bailey. I remember when Champ Bailey played for the Washington Redskins and they were talking about him in his infant career. Like in his when he was there first, they was like, yeah, man, he probably gonna be a Hall of Famer. Like I remember that specifically, talking about how good he was. And this was like his third or fourth season at Washington. Then they traded him to Denver and he put it down.
Yeah, a lot of people were really surprised Steve Atwater didn't make it in, considering Champ Bailey did. But, you know, I don't know how this voting works, and it's always one of those things. I have less of an issue with the Pro Football Hall of Fame than I do with the Baseball Hall of Fame. So, and, maybe he gets it on the next attempt. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, some guys just, you know, and some guys get in their feelings about it. I mean, it's got to be a hard thing to go through. If you were here with us to listen to the Morton Anderson story about the knock on the door and the, the room service and not Hall of Fame the year before he got in and how heartbreaking that was. And we all know, the Hall of Fame was, missing Terrell Owens, from, that situation last year. So, I mean, because he felt snubbed because he didn't get in until his third time. So, it's gut-wrenching to some guys.
Yeah, it is. But if you get in, you're in. And that's something that, some guys have to wait a little bit longer than others. The guys that vote on it, they have their reasonings for whatever reason. London Fletcher didn't get in this year. Tony Boselli, I thought that, honestly, when I look at offensive linemen, and I've said this, that I look at, your longevity, your consistency, your health. And for me, Tony Gonzalez wasn't healthy enough to be considered for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Great player, no question about it. Never played against him, me personally. But I don't look at him as being healthy enough to be considered for the Hall of Fame, but he was. I think it's a great honor just to be on the ballot, to be totally honest.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. All right, Super Bowl 53 in the book. The Patriots knock off the Rams 13-3, lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. Patriots win their sixth Super Bowl title. We're talking about the dynasties. We're talking about the commercials. We're talking about the week that was and how great Atlanta was throughout the week. A lot to kind of condense into a show here on Monday, and also about all the NFL honors, including the Hall of Fame, and a shout-out this morning to Ben Garland, center for offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons, who won the Salute to Service Award presented by USAA. And so, Ben Garland, congratulations. And, of course, he was with us as part of our coverage this week with that big coin, which was pretty neat. That military coin, that thing was heavy.
I didn't get a chance to touch it. I'm a little funny about awards that are given to other people. I mean, it's not mine. You know what I mean? And so it's like this is not me dissing anybody who does this. This is just how I feel about it. And I have my reasons for feeling about this. But when people put on other people's Super Bowl rings and wear them to take pictures, I would not do that. I mean, and again, not dissing anybody, talking bad about anybody who does that, but that's just not me. What'd you say, Daryl?
I said, because you're a number two, that's why.
Basically, maybe that's what it is.
Everybody doesn't have the opportunity. Like when Randy Cross was here, he would let me see his ring.
I get it. And like I said, I am not taking shots at anybody who does that. And let me be clear. It's just that I would not do that. That's just like even when I went to the Eagles organization and they had the Lombardi Trophy. And I had old teammates of mine that took pictures holding the trophy. I'm not touching it. Yes, Daryl.
How many times, though, does the working class person get a chance to see that?
I mean, it's different for you as a player.
Yeah, it is. It's much different.
And again, that's why I said, that's why I'm saying it the way that I'm saying it. And I hope that nobody is taking it like I'm trying to diss them or talk bad about them, because I'm not.
It doesn't bother
me. I'm just telling you how I feel about it.
Well, but I understand from the player's perspective, because he was actively involved in pursuing those particular awards and whatnot. I mean, for me as a fan, it's absolutely fine. I mean, of course, just a fan. Some of the other awards that were handed out, no surprise, Hugh, that Patrick Mahomes was named Offensive Player of the Year and ended up as the league's MVP, and Mahomes talked about winning these honors.
Wow. It truly is amazing, man. First off, I just want to say God is amazing. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. As I look back on this season, there was a lot of stuff that I expected, and there was a lot of stuff I didn't expect. I was blessed enough to be put in a great situation with a lot of great teammates, a lot of great coaches, and a great organization with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs Kingdom is strong. I love everything about it. Thank y'all for everybody on that team that played with me and gave me their all every single day, and go Chiefs.
Yeah. And no doubt, I know that a lot of Swampers are out there going, we could have won this game, we could have won this game. Look, make no mistake, for those of you who think it was a bad game, and again, define bad game, I don't think it was a bad game. I think when it's 3-3 late in the game and it's still up in the air, it wasn't like it was 55-10. Yes, it would have been a different game had the Chiefs managed to beat the New England Patriots. It would have been a much more wide-open game. No question about it, but it wasn't.
And that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. Because you look at – you take the Chiefs game that they had against the Patriots, and that was fairly a high-scoring game. I just think with 2 weeks to prepare, John, people don't realize. With 2 weeks to prepare, you have a number of different things working against you. You have the fact that you've had 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. You haven't played football. There's probably a little bit of a rust factor in there. You're not accustomed to being in that rhythm that you once was in when you were playing consistently. That's a little bit of that. And you saw it kind of pick up for the Patriots a little bit in the second half. And the fact that, you know, like I said, the defense coordinators had a week to scheme for you. They broke down. They probably went through every game that you played against that you had success in and took out different elements of every team that you played against. People tend to forget that. You know, you always talk about, well, with Bill Belichick with 2 weeks to prepare, you know, da-da-da-da. It's the same thing with Jared Goff. It's the same thing with Sean McVay, Coach McVay. 2 weeks to prepare. Same thing with Wade Phillips. They had 2 weeks to prepare for you. So everything that you did well, they're going to slow that down. If you look at the game, people, and you look at that first half, the Patriots in the first half, they were able to run the ball successfully during the AFC Championship game and throughout that playoff run. They ran the ball down the throats of everybody that they played against. That really wasn't the case yesterday. They weren't able to establish the run like they have in the past. But the good thing about it is they stayed committed to the run game. And when it finally broke open for them, they stayed committed in the fourth quarter, and that's how they was able to salt the game away.
Yeah, the Patriots, of course, again, win 13-3 over the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, I'm going to dispute whether or not it was a bad game. I think it was actually a pretty good game, but we'll get more into that. Just a couple of the other awards, no surprise, as you and I said, Saquon Barkley, Rookie of the Year, Aaron Donald, Defensive Player of the Year. The one surprise that came in was that the Coach of the Year turned out to be Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears.
That was a little surprising.
A little bit of a surprise. Nagy did a great job. This is what we said about the impact of Khalil Mack on that team. The Bears, tremendous season and winning the NFC North and, you know, the heartache that they had in the postseason. Because as Swabbers like to complain, there are a lot of teams. I think the Chiefs, even the Bears, heck, even the Eagles can say, you know, man, we could have won this game last night.
Teams
think of that.
Everybody could complain. I need to find out from Saints fans, was this a thing? Because I saw something on my timeline the other day or my Twitter feed where I don't know where this was. I don't know if it was in Atlanta or was it in New Orleans, where they had a parade protesting the Super Bowl. Where was that? Was that real?
Yeah, it was in New Orleans.
You know what? Listen. I'm probably the most petty person that y'all come in contact with on a daily basis. And I work with somebody who goes out of his way to point out the fact that he can't stand y'all. I get that. And maybe I'm going to be a little bit lenient here because maybe if I was working in Dallas and I was an Eagle, I would probably be the same way. I would like to think that I wouldn't be, but maybe. But that right there, y'all need to go on somewhere with that. Like, to go out of your way to have a parade about the fact that you aren't in the Super Bowl and you have a Super Bowl championship, that one right there, y'all have taken petty to an all-time high with that. That is ridiculous to me. I didn't get a chance to look and see if it was real, but now that you confirm that, that's surprising that y'all would go out of your
way
to do that.
Why would it be? Oh, it doesn't surprise me Saints fans would do that. So they are.
I guess, I have to defer to you on this one. But that one right there is the all that's the all-time high petty. Y'all still mad. Y'all big mad about the fact that y'all didn't get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. 2 years in a row, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minnesota Miracle and then that.
How about this? Y'all don't hear me talk about this much. Three NFC Championship games in a row. Three of them. And one Super Bowl appearance. Wrap your mind around that with a little bit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't, man. And I don't remember anybody in Philadelphia doing anything like that. You're right, Daryl. That's probably why I'm not putting on that ring.
Yeah, the pettiness down there. Hey, listen, next season's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it? Because Falcons are going to be out for them, and maybe Saints fans know that you know they've had this incredible shot the last 2 years, which they did, and managed to gaff both of them. Oh, the referee stole one. Nah, I'm still not buying it. Let's not forget that after the referee so-called stole it from you, you still took the lead with under 2 minutes to go. And lost, okay? So don't give me this, the refs took that away from you. They didn't take the game-winning play away from you. You still took the lead. Anyway, I'm not going to go back through that. Next year is going to be a lot of fun because I think the Falcons are going to be back and the NFC South is going to be a lot more interesting next year than it was this year.
Yes. It's going to be interesting to see Cam Newton out there or not see him out
or
there.
Or not, right. I mean, yeah. It depends on whether or not he's going to play.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play next year.
How Tampa handles a new head coach, how Dirk Koetter handles it. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of great storylines next year.
You know what else is going to be a great storyline next year?
What's that?
I wonder what them damn Patriots ring going to look like. What that ring? Like, they good for Gaudy. Like, when you think about, like when you look at the history of, like, the rings that they've gotten, for this to be their 6-1, this ring is going to be ridiculous. Ridiculous. Man, that's going to be a ridiculous ring.
You know, I wonder what the Pittsburgh Steelers are thinking because they've always hung their hat on the fact that they have six. You know, now suddenly they're not alone at the top of the mountain no more. Now they've got company up on that Everest Hill. You know what I'm saying? Now they got the Patriots standing right alongside of them.
No, I think, and
by the way, I'm not taking anything away from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, but I think that the one thing that the Patriots can hang their hat on, and Wendy pointed out this stat. They said something like it took the span of, what, 35 year? The Steelers did it in a 35-year span. The Patriots won their six Super Bowl titles in the 2000s, have come since 2001 within 18 seasons.
Right.
So you're talking about, like, the Steelers have the rings over a 35-year span.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots have been doing it in the 2000s.
Right.
Like, they've done it in a shorter period of time.
But that also goes to the fact that the Steelers have been that good for that long.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, that franchise has been, you know, yes, the Patriots have owned the last two decades because of Tom Brady, but the Steelers are still probably, in my book, the number one franchise in the Super Bowl era. And that includes the Cowboys and the Niners and the Packers and the other teams that have had phenomenal runs in the Super Bowl era. And they have. But the Steelers, I think, because those are kind of like the big five right now, if you think about it. And not that the other teams haven't had a moment, but those big five, the Steelers probably, if I had to rank them, I'd probably put them at number one, still ahead of the New England Patriots because they've been doing it for a longer period of time. That's all. Even though the Patriots are setting all kinds of records. And good God, if they get back to it next year in Miami, oh, good heavens, Hugh. If they make it back to is it even possible they go to a fourth in a row and win again? The answer, I guess, is yes, as long as Brady's there, right?
Yeah, they got a good chance of it.
Even though Brady really didn't play a very good game yesterday. I mean, he was really kind of average. But average was good enough with the way his defense was shutting down the Rams. What did Tom Brady say after the game yesterday? We have the audio. We'll play it for you next. Patriots win the Super Bowl, and we're looking back on how Atlanta won the week. That was the big winner. Atlanta was a real big winner. That's next with John and you on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. And yes, it's still a dynasty.
It's the best 10 minutes in sports. I don't care what sport, basketball, baseball, hockey. When the streamers come down and they start to play Tina Turner, there's nothing better in the world.
Patriots Radio. John and Hugh on the Morning Show.
Oh, man. That's a great day in Atlanta. I'm excited about the city. And shout out to all the people that are listening to us that are getting ready to clean up this mess this weekend. Like, get ready to clean it up. Shout out to all of y'all who put up all of these structures and everything and got this city ready to go. Man, you guys are the unsung heroes that did this whole thing. And today, I know y'all going to be getting that. What's that, time and a half? You got to get time and a half because you got to clean this up by tomorrow. So the people, like the people that are going on the buildings right now that are scraping off all of the little things, what you call those things?
The wraps.
The wraps. You're scraping off the wraps. Shout out to all the people that are scraping off the wraps at the bins and off the buildings, surrounding buildings. Shout out to all the people that are taking down all those structures that they put up, all those little tents and stuff, because, man, that's a lot of work to do. So shout out to all of you who are getting that time and a half, if that's what y'all are getting. If y'all ain't getting time and a half, y'all should be, because that's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, opening up those roads, taking down all the security fences and everything else that's got to be done after Atlanta put on a great, great show. I don't know what kind of reviews we'll get from around the nation. Don't really care. I know that we killed it. I know this city killed it. The layout, the traffic flow, the first Super Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, you see what that stadium's already been. And the way it just looked on television, it just looked such like, I mean, if people hadn't experienced Mercedes-Benz Stadium as such a state-of-the-art diamond as at the moment. Of course, there'll be others because they're talking about how this stadium in Las Vegas is going to be $2.5 billion and it's going to be even nicer. I've been in the Jerry Dome. Look, Jerry Dome's very nice.
I tell you what.
But I think Mercedes-Benz is nicer.
No, Mercedes-Benz is beautiful. But the one in Vegas, I'm going to tell you like this. Whenever they get done with that and they host the Super Bowl, it's safe to say that I probably won't be at the game. I'll probably be in Vegas somewhere watching the game on one of the big screens. Because it's Vegas. Got to be able to watch the game in Vegas. But, yeah, it's probably going to be spectacular. But just to see the city handle this the way that they did. The only time that I saw traffic is when I was on the highway, 85, and you were getting off on major exits, say like going to the 10th Street or something. Mm-hmm. Because where they had, like, I guess the Maxim party.
Right.
It was over that way or somewhere where a lot of people were trying to get to. But if you moved around strategically at the right time during the day, you did pretty good. And a lot of people, I saw a lot of people caught like a Uber or they had car services. Car services made a killing this weekend as well.
Well, we're talking about, you know, offensive defense, too, from the game last night, and the Patriots defense limiting the L.A. Rams to 3 points and about 260 yards in offense. It was a very average Tom Brady, 21 of 35, 262 yards passing, no touchdowns, one interception, and a QBR of only 25. I mean, not very good, but it doesn't matter. He still gets one for the thumb after winning last night.
It probably won't sink in for a very, very long time, but I'm just so blessed to play with the best teammates through the years, from our 0-1 team and all the way through to now. And I love all those guys. That's what makes it special, man. It's the brotherhood. And all these relationships are so important in my life. And I just, you know, I can't cherish it enough. And it's going to be a good celebration tonight.
Well, it's a big celebration again. They're going to have another parade in Boston. As Wendy pointed out, 12th title in 17 years. That town is spoiled beyond belief. Beyond belief, and it is a dynasty for the New England Patriots, Tom.
It's pretty sweet, man. I think we do play for each other. You know, everyone who we had, Vince came and spoke to us. You know, it means a lot. There's been a lot of guys a part of this journey with this team, and it's just been so fun to be a part of it. Just do your best every day, and it's a challenging football environment. It's pressure's always on, and for moments like this.
All right, so everybody thinks the game sucked last night. Now, for me, I thought the game was fine. There were other things last night that I thought were suck, like some of the commercials and that halftime show, which I thought was terrible. But then again, I'm not a Maroon 5 fan, but I don't want to see Adam Levine half naked standing on a stage. That is not my idea.
All the little girls and stuff were screaming and hollering.
Okay.
As halftime shows go, I thought it was okay. But then again, it wasn't like I expected a whole lot. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like I expected the, like, Beyonce or somebody like she did hers come out of formation or Lady Gaga jump off a building and come in. I didn't expect none of that. It to me, it was probably what I thought it would be. I like the fact that Big Boy came in the Cadillac, though. I like the fact that that.
It would have been a better show if it had just been Big Boy, you know, if he had been the headliner.
And Dre.
You know?
And Dre. Listen, I'm a Big Boy fan. Shout out to Big Boy and his brother, little brother James, Pitfall Kennels, all that. I'm a big fan of Big Boy. I like the fact that he came on with Sleepy Brown, but when you think about out, when you think of outcast, when you think of Big Boy, you think of outcast. And I think Dre would have, it would have been great if Dre would have came, and it would have been a, I think, a much better show. I don't have a, I didn't have a problem with the show anyway, but I think it would have been a much better show if Dre would have been there.
It was just, yeah, it didn't, I don't know. I mean, it just didn't go anywhere. wasn't very good. I don't think Maroon 5 was very good, but whatever. If you enjoyed it, hey, listen, I'm not trying to, you know, rain on your parade. The idea that I was like, once he took his shirt off, I was like, for the love of God, stop there. You know, I mean, I don't need
that
to see.
That wasn't for you, though, John.
That wasn't for me, I know.
That was for the ladies.
Uh-huh.
The ladies were screaming and hollering.
Wendy, were you screaming and hollering when he was half naked?
I was not, no.
I don't. Wendy doesn't strike me as in that demographic. Like, she doesn't strike me as a person that's going to, like, go.
He did, like, bulk up, though, for Super Bowl.
She did notice that.
Me, yeah.
He got some muscle.
Yeah,
where was Janet Jackson going? Wait a second. You got on me?
A lot of that, yeah.
It's not the same thing, John. I mean,
I'm pretty
sure you know that. It's not the same thing, but hey.
It's just kind of like a dull halftime show. I wanted Travis Scott and Big Boy out there more collaboration, something. Rappel from the building, I don't know. There was just so much they could have done with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, with all like the Halo board and just everything it has to offer. So I think it
showed well. And people were talking about the stadium was empty. I don't know what shot they looked at. It didn't look empty to me.
Didn't look empty to me.
It didn't. Maybe.
Didn't
maybe
look empty to me.
Maybe it was the contrast of the seats or whatever, but somebody keeps tweeting me saying, well, we're not going to talk about the fact that the stadium was half empty.
What are you talking about?
It didn't look half empty to me. It, like, I don't know, D, maybe you want to pull up some pictures of the stadium from last night and see what it looked like? It didn't look empty to me. It did not look empty. I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know, but it didn't look empty to me at all.
And then a lot of reaction to the commercials, which we're also doing on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Now, when you get to commercials, it's, you know, one of these things that I'll give you an example in a moment. We're asking you who had the best Super Bowl commercial, and you can vote for a number of them. The Bud Light Game of Thrones is certainly getting a lot of the ad meter positive thumbs up stuff. The Bud Light corn syrup one, where they're taking the big corn syrup thing around. And so the Bud Light ad scored very well. A lot of people seem to like the Hyundai ad with Jason Bateman in the elevator, and the NFL 100-year game ad, which it was 2 minutes long, and of course the NFL has that advantage of having all the stars do it, was so well directed, so well shot, so well edited, that it was, to me, hands down, if it's a commercial, and some people are saying it's not a commercial, but I think it is. It's a commercial for the NFL, that it was by far the best of the commercials. But here are a couple of lists. Wendy had one, Hugh, and I got another one from the Chicago Tribune. And on the best list, okay, for both of those was a commercial where they dug up some old footage of Andy Warhol eating a Whopper. This is like back 35, 40 years ago, right? I don't know if you saw it where he just gets the bag out and opens up the Whopper and eats this. It takes a bite of the hamburger.
Why?
And that was on the best list of a couple of them. I sat there and watched that and went, what the hell?
Yeah, it was interesting to see the Andy Warhol one. It didn't say eat like Andy. Yeah. And I didn't understand it. And I guess the fact that he put the ketchup on the side and dipped his burger. It was a plain burger, though.
Yeah,
it was a plain burger.
It was a plain burger, right. It was a plain Whopper.
You can't eat a real Whopper. You can't eat a Whopper like that with all the accoutrements on it. You can't. It's impossible.
With some ketchup.
Yeah.
The one that's getting the most bad buzz, though, is the Devour frozen food one, the 3-minute porn one. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, when he was talking about they were eating macaroni and cheese and now we're watching snuff films or whatever.
I mean,
that was crazy. That
watching
was,
videos online with, you know.
That was crazy.
3-minute. Yeah, that one was a little, that one did not go over well. But if the company gets a little bit of pop out of it and people are talking about it, that's what you want. You want people to talk about your commercial.
Now, it's something else that's popping on social media that I need somebody to, I need to see video before I pass judgment on this. But there's a picture that was just sent to me, and it's of Robert Kraft and Tom Brady in an embrace. And from the picture, it looks like Tom Brady and Robert Kraft are kissing each other in the mouth. It looks like they're kissing each other in the mouth. Now, as we all know, that there are certain angles that the camera shoots from that makes you think that that is the case. I need somebody to send me the full video before I pass judgment on this, because everybody's talking about how weird and how deviant Tom Brady is and all this other stuff. So I don't know if that's the case. I cannot see them kissing in the mouth like that. It looks like they're kissing each other in the mouth, though. But I don't think that's the case. So I need to see the full-length video before I pass judgment on this. But this has got the internet all abuzz this morning.
Yeah, I saw the photo, too, and I mean.
I mean, if he kissed him in the mouth, that's all right. I mean, if that's, you know, I mean, hell, y'all won 6 Super Bowls together. If he kissed him in the mouth, that's cool. Hey, when the heart wants what the heart wants, especially after you win 6 titles.
Well, while all this has been going on, the Atlanta Hawks have been going across country. And do it fairly well, by the way. We're going to update you on the fact that the Hawks have one of the hottest players in the NBA. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. Day after Super Bowl 53, still to come, more of your reaction as to the show that Atlanta put on, the good, the bad, and the ugly from what happened at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night with the Patriots winning their 6th Super Bowl title and continuing their dynasty, which is all that is the only word that fits, really. They are a dynasty. Let's update you just real quickly, if we can, in the Atlanta Hawks. While this has been going on for the last, you know, couple of weeks here in town and getting ready for that big event, the Hawks have been out on a 7-game road trip, which at first looked like it could be for a young team, kind of like the dagger in the season. But guess what? They're playing tonight at Washington. It's the final game of the 7-game road trip. They're 3-3 on this trip, and they play pretty darn good basketball. And suddenly the Hawks are, they aren't even remotely close to the worst team in the NBA.
I mean, and that's a positive, John. That's what you want. That you want a team, you want a young squad that's going to go out there and compete and going to play well, regardless of what fans might want as far as seating and positioning for, you know, the lottery, the draft. I like the fact that they're playing well and they're meshing well. That means that the better that they play and the more pieces that they add, that might move up the timeline for success a year or two early.
You know, with the All-Star game coming up, Trae Young and John Collins are going to take, you know, a big part of that. They're going to be in, you know, the Rising Stars game. Trae Young has elevated his game here in the middle of the season to a point where we're talking about Trae Young as the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, and he had a big game the other night in a win in Phoenix over the Suns.
It's time to take over. Yes. It's time to, for me as a floor general, me as a lead guard on this team, I gotta do what it takes to help our team win, whether it's getting my teammates involved or score when I need to. And I did a little bit of both, but my teammates deserve all the credit because they made me look good.
Well, they may have made him look good, but he's looking good himself. Get this, Hugh. I'm just going to read this. This is about Trae. Everybody talks about Luka, right? Luka. How about Trae? Just listen to this for a second. Trae Young became the first NBA rookie to record 2 consecutive contests with at least 26 points, 10 made field goals, and 8 assists since Steph Curry in 2010. His efforts established him as the youngest NBA player with back-to-back games with those minimums since LeBron James.
That's, he's holding his own.
Pretty good company.
Yeah, he's holding his own. I mean, but you know, it's unfortunate that when you talk about we're a society where we're visual. We're visually stimulated. And when you look at the highlights, you look at SportsCenter, because everything that we do now is condensed. We're not actually taking a deeper dive and looking at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers, which you pointed out, I think a week ago, was like they're pretty similar as far as their contribution to their team.
Right.
But when we turn on SportsCenter, you know, we're making our coffee or we got the TV on while we're in the shower, and you look at SportsCenter and you see Luka Doncic and what he's been doing, and he's in the highlights all the time, you automatically equate that to him, you know, being a dominant player, which he is. But when you don't hear about Trae Young as much, it kind of makes you think that, as a fan, that Trae Young's not worth his weight in gold or whatever. It might make you think that he's not worth his weight. But he's been holding his own. He's been exactly what the Hawks wanted him to be when they drafted him. You got to remember that, too. Like, you're talking about 2 different teams that have 2 different needs for what they wanted and 2 different positions that they're playing, you know. But Trey's handling his business. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
So is John Collins, who's had 2 35-point games in the last 6 games, including that game against Phoenix where he had 35 points and 16 rebounds. These two, so much so, have become – now, we originally thought that when you started to look at the lay of the land with with what Travis Schlenk was building with the Hawks and with new coach Lloyd Pierce, that it was going to be kind of this three-legged stool, and you were going to have Trae Young, John Collins, Torian Prince kind of be the bellwether here. But as it turns out, it's more just the two of them. It's Trae and John Collins. And where does Torian Prince fit into all this? Well, trade deadline is Thursday night. Okay, coming this Thursday is the NBA trade deadline, and we're hearing rumors that Torian Prince is being, you know, calls are coming in, or there's some discussion about it. It's not saying that Torian Prince couldn't be on this team and be a huge factor of this team going forward. I'm just saying that don't be shocked if all of a sudden Torian Prince ends up on somebody else's team. That's all I'm saying. With the Hawks are likely going to make a move. They will be a seller before the trade deadline. There are people that are interested, especially you and a big like Dwayne Dedman. But at the moment, I think the Hawks might be a little bit more protective of, say, Kevin Huerter than they might be of Torian Prince.
Well, I think that right now they're just fielding calls. I mean, I think they kind of like the way that the team is presently constructed. And then you got to remember, John, like they're starting to get guys back. Bazemore is starting to get work his way back into the lineup. So you're talking about a team that has played well with some of the pieces missing. But now that you have some of the pieces back, you just want to kind of see how they fit together at this point, I would think.
Right. And Trae Young, again, is everybody said, well, he's going to hit that wall. He hadn't hit it yet. As a matter of fact, not only has he not hit the wall, he's kicked it into another gear here where at the beginning of the year he was kind of split in time, and even down the stretch Jeremy Lin was getting more time. But on this road trip, it's been all Trae Young. I mean, he's had tremendous game after night after night after night. I mean, on the road trip, here are his totals. 12 assists, 8 assists, 8 assists, 8 assists, 9 assists, 8 assists. He had 30, he had 26, 23, 28. He's shooting the lights out of it. He's playing a lot more minutes. He's establishing himself. It's like he got his feet underneath him on this road trip. Now, we have 30 games to go in the season. Will he hit a wall before the end of the season? He may. But I will say this. I thought for some people who thought that Trae Young might be not the guy that they expected that he would be, he's elevated his game, Hugh. I'm very happy to see what's happening with Trae Young. I'm excited about Trae Young. John Collins has certainly elevated his game to where he is a these guys are on the – Trey's a really good young rookie. John Collins on the edge of being a star in this league.
No, I agree. But, you know, Trae Young had his moments in the season where he kind of fell off a little bit, and that was because he was a little tired. I think he's starting to adjust to the pro game a little bit more because you got to think, John, that at this point, his college season probably would be over if it's not over by now. So he's adjusting well to the pro game.
Yeah, 52 games in, the Hawks are 11-12 in their last 23 games. So they're nearly a 500 team over the last 2.5 months. So this is a team that's going to play again, has a chance in Washington tonight in a game you'll hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our coverage begins with the pregame show at 6:30, tip at 7 against the Washington Wizards with Steve Holman. If the Hawks go into Washington tonight, win this game, they're gonna have a winning road trip in this 7-game road trip. Hugh, I looked at that thing and said, man, look at how tough that – we talked about it with Travis Schlenk. Look how tough this is going to be. They're going to have to go play, you know, the Clippers and play Utah and play, you know, all these pretty good teams that are out there on the road. And as it turns out, you know, they get wins in Chicago. They beat the Clippers. They just beat Phoenix. I mean, not that that's any great shakes, I know, but when you win on the road in the NBA, if you're the Hawks, you take what you can get. I'm telling you, be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool. Hawks do this right. Get a big-name free agent to come in here to join a couple of first-round picks they may get next year. I think the future's pretty darn bright down at State Farm Arena, especially with the growth of Trae Young and John Collins. All right, your chance to react to what happened at Mercedes-Benz Stadium across the way from State Farm Arena. We'll do that next as we continue our coverage of the Super Bowl with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 and The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.